I could feel a bit of sweat coating my forehead, my head throbbing, and my chest starting to feel heavy. The last thing I needed before a show was to feel sick or have my asthma acting up. I had controlled it quite well throughout the tour. I never went out with the boys after a show because I always get kind of wheezy when I'm exhausted. I always had my inhaler with me. I was good with avoiding fans who would come to the show doused in a gallon of perfume, but of course, just my luck. At the final stop, my ailment got the last laugh. "Matt! Matt! Matt!" Kevin's voice snapped me out of the daze that I didn't even know I was in. I blinked several times before lifting my head up at him, abruptly sitting up in my seat, which proved to be a terrible idea as I felt a slight tightness in my chest. I unconsciously placed a hand over my heart. When you've had asthma for as long as you can remember, it's kind of a reflex, I guess. Kevin rolled his eyes, knowing full well what was wrong. As he leaned himself against the table in front of me, he knew. We've known each other since 7th grade. He is definitely familiar with the audible whistle in my breath that seems to be getting louder and louder. "Dude, you have been so out of it today," Kevin said, concerned laced through his voice. "If you're not feeling well, then you should rest. You don't have to perform tonight."
"I can't miss the last concert of the tour. No way."
I shook my head before reaching into my pocket and lifted my blue inhaler into my mouth.
"See? All good. Suit yourself, then."
Kevin shrugged nonchalantly. "But just don't go collapsing during my parts and stealing my shine," he said jokingly.
"I'll try not to."
I chuckled, fixing the cap over the mouthpiece while Kevin walked away. I hate the taste of my inhaler, but being able to breathe kind of puts things into perspective. In no time, it was time for the show. 2 hours in, and the performance was running like clockwork. In fact, the headache from earlier seemingly disappeared despite the loud music and screaming from the crowd. I found myself jumping around and having seemingly one of the best performances of my life. That was until, well, my throat started to itch and my chest started to feel tight. I rushed over to the side of the stage and grabbed a bottle of water from one of the staff members. I downed the water, but it didn't really seem to help at all. The irritation in my throat didn't subside, and my breathing began to quicken.
"Fuck. Fuck, not now." I knew I was having an asthma attack, but I refused to pull out my inhaler in front of this huge crowd while my bandmates were busy performing. That would be so embarrassing. Amidst my internal dilemma, I could feel a pair of eyes on me. I turned to face the crowd and quickly made eye contact with the one person in front row who was not dancing around or screaming out the lyrics. With her hands gripping on the barricade, she watched me with deep concern evident on her face. Next to the concern, I found myself admiring how beautiful she was. With her dark brown, wavy hair let down and her hazel-colored orbs staring right into my dark eyes. My moment of serenity was cut short, though, when I I tried to subdue my coughing by casually clearing my throat and covering my mouth with my hand, but the girl saw right through me.
"Are you okay?" she mouthed to me, and I gave her a thumbs up and a smile, even though I clearly was not okay, and anyone clearly could see that. I was trying to massage my chest, encouraging the airways to just stop being an ass right now, and to just take some oxygen.
"Asthma attack?" she mouthed back, and I could see how worried she was for me. "Huh?" simply nodded, unable to mouth an answer back because I was starting to feel woozy from the lack of air. I kept chugging down the water, less to cure my issue because I knew that was not going to work, but more so subdue my coughing and make it seem as though nothing was wrong. That plan didn't last long as I coughed with the bottle against my mouth. Almost choking and spilling water everywhere. Great, as if I need more embarrassment right now. I looked forward to make sure nobody noticed, only to make eye contact with the girl again. When she realized I was looking at her, she made a gesture with her hand wherein she brought it to her mouth and made an exaggerating breathing motion. I understood this gesture as her asking if I had an inhaler to use. The thought instantly made my cheeks flush a crimson pink as I coughed into an oversized shirt. Using the material to also hide my embarrassment, the girl was now flailing her hands in front of her face, quite comically, might I add, as if to get my attention. Once she made eye contact, she made the inhaler gesture again. I shook my head quickly, waving my thumbs up in front of my face that was still somewhat hidden behind my black shirt. I could see the girl roll her eyes and shake her head before she started moving away from her spot near the barricade. Where is she going? I wanted her to weave through the crowd until I could not see her snort figure anymore. My eyes scanned the entire crowd, but the girl was nowhere to be seen. It was getting harder and harder to breathe, but there's no fucking way I'm going to use my inhaler in front of everyone and look like a little bitch. I jumped when I felt a pat on my shoulder, but my nerves dissipated when I met the face of one of the venue managers. In his hand, I could see my inhaler, that I assumed he got it from Ashland as he was standing backstage with a smile on his face, and I immediately understood why she left the crowd. I found it quite sweet that she would leave her amazing barricade spot to help me out. She did that for me, and it put my mind at a civil war between giving in to her or letting my fear of embarrassment win. "This girl told us you were having an asthma attack," the venue manager exclaimed over the loud performance that was still going on, as well as my wheezing. "Our priority is making sure our performers are safe. You should have left the stage and used your inhaler." I felt like a little kid getting scolded, and it was just an embarrassing moment, as using my inhaler in public, some people had turned their attention towards us and even pulled out their phones to record. "I'm fine. I don't need it." I shook my head at the venue manager and nonchalantly waved my hand, trying to convince him that I was okay, even though at this point, it felt like there's a giant elephant sitting on my chest. "For the love of God, just use the inhaler!" I heard someone yell and turned towards the crowd to see the girl, now standing near the exit closest to the stage with the security guards and other venue personnel. "Nobody cares if you use it!" Somehow I managed to laugh in between my coughs, and the girl smiled at me, shaking her head as if completely tired of me refusing to use my inhaler. To be honest, I was quite tired too, and mostly struggling to breathe. I grabbed the inhaler from the venue manager. As I did so I could hear the giggles and ahs from the people on that side of the stage. Great. Now they're going to think I'm so lame. It's supposed to be this heartthrob of Brockhampton. Who the fuck wants to date a rapper with asthma? I shoved the inhaler in my pocket and looked up to give the girl a cheesy grin. She looked proud and incredibly satisfied. "Bring that girl backstage after the show if she's okay with that," I requested from the venue manager. "I just want to thank her in person." The venue manager nodded before running off backstage. Feeling much better, though, I started performing comfortably with the boys. Every now and then I would glance to the corner to see the girl bobbing her head to the music, yelling some of the lyrics and giving me the wildest smile I've ever seen in my life. Every time she caught me looking at her, I couldn't help but feel my cheeks flush a little bit. She was quite comical and outspoken, and I liked that about her already. Not to mention she was really, really pretty. The perfect recipe to give me butterflies in my stomach and crimson heat rushing into my cheeks. I was really hopeful that I would get to see her after the show. Of course, whether she wanted to meet me was totally up to her, and I would not force her, but I metaphorically kept my fingers crossed the entire night that I would be able to talk to her, more than wanting to thank her for encouraging me and, in turn, making me not let myself pass out. I also wanted to get to know her. I was intrigued by her and wanted to find out more about her. The show concluded smoothly, and we said our thanks and goodbyes to the crowd before the lights dimmed and we were briskly ushered backstage. In a matter of seconds, the lights of the theater-like venue turned on and the exit doors were opened. The crowd members, drifting towards the door closet closest to them, were standing backstage. I watched as the venue manager led the girl aside, preventing her from leaving just yet. The manager spoke to her, but I could not mouth-read her responses. Her back was facing to me. It seemed as though the noise was disturbing their communication because the manager leaned forward to speak and... "What are you looking at?" a loud voice exclaimed from behind me, making me jump slightly before turning around and meeting the frowning face of Joba. "We're all over here already starting our post-concert party, and you're just standing there." "It's nothing," I insisted, flashing him a sheepish smile while scratching the back of my neck. "Come on, man. I know it's not nothing," Joba snickered, a mischievous smile on his face. "You think I didn't see that girl waving her hands about, then yell at you to use your inhaler? Hell, all of us saw it. It was hard to hold back the laughter while performing, man." "Oh, I thought not everyone noticed." I found myself trailing off, my face feeling hot as the embarrassment settled in again. "Your little incident is going viral on Twitter already," Kevin chuckled, clearly listening in on our conversation as he walked over with his phone showing a fan taking video of me using my inhaler. "Everyone finds it so adorable." "And when we were more fans because Matt's cuteness went viral?" Marlon grinned as Joba shoved him, making fake gagging noises to display his disgust. The incident still made me cringe just a little, but it was nice knowing that our fans and even people who didn't know me at all found the video cute and entertaining. I guess in a way I was embarrassed for nothing. I always wanted to keep my cool image, but I should have known the fans in the crowd and online could care less about that. This realization made me want to thank the girl even more. As if on cue, though, the venue manager walked into the backstage area with someone tailing behind him. I tilted my head to see the girl arrive, her hands clasped together as she bit down her bottom lip. Unconsciously, a smile crept up onto my face. I don't know why, but it seemed like my body and emotions were working without me on that particular day. "Hey, Matt's knight in shining armor is here," Joba shouted excitedly as the girl chuckled at the extravagant introduction. "What's your name, hon?" Dom asked from across the room. "I'm Naya. It's so amazing to meet you guys," she smiled genuinely. "I didn't think shouting at someone to use their inhaler would get me here." "Well, thank you for convincing this dumbass to use his inhaler." Kevin rolled his eyes at me. "He's so damn stubborn, I don't even want to know what would have happened if he didn't use it." "Yeah, if it wasn't for you, his condition would have just gotten worse," Merlinge nodded, his bottom lip jutting out into the slightest pout. "I mean, we were trying to go on with the performance, but seeing him like that was really worrying." "It's honestly no problem. I was really worried too, so I had to help out," she said nonchalantly, a calm and charming grin on her face. Hey, mister, Jobin narrowed his eyes at me, beckoning me forward with his index finger. Don't you have something to say to the girl who gave up her $200 front row tickets to come and help your stupid ass? I shoved my hands in the pockets of my jeans and gingerly trudged towards them, my head down. I fiddled with the inhaler that was still in my pocket as I approached them. Finally, lifting my head up and making eye contact with Naya, we had been exchanging language, mouthed words, and talking with our eyes the entire night. Minus her eventual yelling at me, of course. That it was quite foreign to be standing right in front of each other. Thank you, Naya, I stated simply in a monotone voice, immediately mentally kicking myself because I probably made one of the worst first, actually second, impressions ever. That's it, Joba raised an eyebrow in disbelief. Homegirl saved you from being stupid. I think she deserves a better show of gratitude, you know. You know we were worried sick, Kevin practically scolded me. You were trying to keep up your damn edgy persona, and if it weren't for her stopping that, who knows what would have happened to you. However, Naya let out a light chuckle, her eyes practically sparkling as she looked at me. It's fine, guys. You're welcome, Matt. I'm a huge fan, so I don't particularly like seeing the person whose music I love suffer with an asthma attack on stage. Yeah, that's true. I found myself laughing as well. But thanks anyway, though. I really owe you one. Well, she is your fan, Merlin shrugged before a mischievous grin popped onto his face. I think you owe her a nice conversation and an autograph. Before I could say anything, the boys were all loudly showing signs of approval on Merlin's idea. They started to drift towards the other end of the backstage area, where the catering tables were placed, all of them wearing the same up-to-no-good smile as Merlin. Don't get too wild with the fan service, Kevin exclaimed with a wink, making Naya laugh and my face flush a pale red color. Eventually, Naya and I were alone. Without any words exchanged, I ushered her to come and sit with me on top of one of the metal storage containers. We sat next to each other, a small distance apart. That was enough to make me nervous. I was not used to feeling this anxious about someone, but I kind of liked it. That feeling is what pushed me to start the conversation. So, what made you become a Brockhampton fan? I asked, internally rolling my eyes at how cliche my question was, but having to settle for the lack of a better conversation starter. It's actually quite a simple story, she explained coolly, and I could already see the laid-back and confident person she was from how charismatically she told me to use the inhaler, all the way to how she waved off our gratitude. I was just browsing through YouTube and finding myself in a rabbit hole of Brockhampton videos. I fell in love with the music and eventually the group altogether, including your personalities and dynamics with each other. That's pretty cool. I gave her a small smile, twiddling my fingers, which were resting in my lap. I always like hearing about how people found our music and eventually liked it. I honestly find it kind of fascinating. How so? Naya pondered, her bright eyes on me as she tilted her head. Her mannerisms were just so cute, and that realization in my head made me unconsciously smile. I felt like my cheeks were on fire, but I doubt they were that noticeable considering Naya didn't point it out. Either that, or she was just too kind to mention it for the sake of me not getting any more embarrassed. I had had enough embarrassing moments for one night. Well, it still doesn't feel real that our group actually, well, made it, you know? I spoke my honest feelings, and she listened intently. When I see the big crowds who come to see us, or the mass following we have through social media, when I hear how people found our music and support us, it almost doesn't feel real at all. It feels like I don't deserve it. I don't know why I spilled out everything like that to her despite only knowing her for barely an hour, but for some reason, I just felt that I could trust her with this information. She felt like a very easy person to open up to. I had just hoped I didn't dampen the mood. She gave me an empathetic smile before placing her hand over mine, sending a tingling electric shock throughout my whole body. "Is it real? And you deserve this much," she insisted, giving my hand a gentle and encouraging squeeze. "I may not know you personally, but from a fan's perspective, you are so deserving of every good thing that comes to you. You know, I would like to know you personally," I was joking. Kind of? Even though there was truth in the statement, considering I did really want to get to know her. "Whoa," she exclaimed with a laugh. "That was quite smooth." I expected her to move her hand away from mine, but she didn't. And I was glad. In fact, she was practically holding my hand at this point, and I shyly returned the gesture. I looked up to see the other guys looking at us ever so discreetly. When I made eye contact with Kevin, he had a satisfied grin on his face and gave me 2 thumbs up. "So, let me ask another question," Naya said, making me turn my head back towards her. Go ahead. "You're a rapper, with asthma, and you still smoke often." She looked at me with amusement written all over her face. "How on earth do you manage that?" I honestly didn't expect that question, but considering our circumstances, I kind of should have seen it coming. I chuckled softly. It's quite hard, honestly, to say the least. I mean, my lungs are already jacked up, so adding smoking to that is probably not the most logical thing to do. I do admit the smoking has made my asthma attacks way worse, but on the other hand, they're less frequent. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true. I found myself smiling sheepishly. I have a lot of stress and anxiety, and smoking eases that. It relaxes me, and when I'm relaxed, I have a lot less asthma attacks. They only come about when I really can't help it, like when I'm jumping around on stage, for example. My doctor insisted I was being stupid when I told him, and I myself know smoking is not really good for me, but it just calms me down. I sat there and waited for her to respond, genuinely expecting her to laugh at my ridiculous theory or lecture me about how detrimental smoking was for me, but none of that ever came. Instead, I felt her start rubbing slow circles on my hand with her thumb. I looked at her, and she smiled sweetly. "I understand. Everyone has their own thing." She shrugged, a slight pout on her lips, which was really, really adorable. "Some people write. Some people go to the gym. Some people smoke. I'm not condoning your smoking and saying it's okay for you to destroy your lungs, but what I am saying is that I get it. Everyone needs something to ease their anxiety and help them take a break from this messed up world. This world is messed up. Even more messed up than your lungs," she joked with a loud and charming laugh, making me laugh as well. Once our laughing subsided, she let go of my hand, and I was slightly disappointed. My disappointment was short-lived, though, as she reached down into her bag and pulled out her phone, handing it to me. "Can I get your number?" she asked, looking shy for the first time that night. "I just thought after this heart-to-heart conversation, we've gotten, close enough to exchange numbers. Unless you don't want to, of course, you know. Merlin told me to give you an autograph, but instead we're exchanging numbers," I said. She suddenly looked up and her eyes were focused behind me. I turned my head to see Joba making exaggerated kissy faces so as to tease us. Merlin joined in by dramatically holding a bag of crisps to his chest, hugging it close as he slow danced with it. I rolled my eyes, trying to seem nonchalant, but their actions did kind of get to me. With Naya, the conversation flowed so smoothly, and we were barely at a loss for words. I was very closed off most of the time, and I preferred to hide my feelings behind jokes or changing the subject, but I was instantly able to open up to her. There was, however, one feeling that I would rather keep to myself. In my mind, I could admit I was developing a little crush on Naya, but there was no way I was going to admit that out loud. She stifled a giggle, and the sound made me almost jolt out of my seat. It was almost as though she heard my internal rambling, even though I knew full well that that was not even remotely possible. "They're so stupid," she chuckled, shaking her head in a mixture of amusement and disbelief. Yeah, I said nervously, trying to mask my feelings with a laugh and attempting to change the subject. "I once told Joba if he keeps making faces like that it will become permanent, and I swear to God he almost believed me." "I can't even make fun of him," she grinned sheepishly, her eyes back on me. "In middle school, my teacher told me that, and I cried. Like, a lot." "Now, see, you were in middle school," I explained, a smile on my face, mostly from the fact that I successfully diverted the conversation away from the guys teasing us. "Joba, on the other hand, he was a grown man, and honestly, I was very concerned that he actually thought about what I said for quite some time before realizing it was humanly impossible." "Fair enough," she nodded. "I sometimes find it hard to believe you're younger than Joba. From everyone, actually, you seem so mature and reserved." "Oh, trust me, I am anything but mature," I insisted, waving my hand and head to show my disapproval. "I try to seem mature, but I handle things very immaturely. I make very immature decisions and think very immaturely. I really need to work on that." "I can relate to that," she gave me a sad smile and shrugged. "There's a lot of immature decisions I wish I could take back, but I guess that's just part of growing up and life in general, yeah?" "Immature decisions? Like throwing away your expensive barricade tickets to save some idiot from passing out on stage?" I joked, trying to lighten up the mood. "Shut up!" she laughed loudly, clearly not expecting the joke, as she shoved me playfully. Sorry, the mood was getting kind of serious, so I felt the need to liven it up. Sorry about that. I chuckled softly as she tried to calm down her laughter. "Hey, the night is still young. Do you want to go to the bar downtown, or..." "Yeah, I would like that," she agreed as she hopped off her seat, me mimicking her actions. "Where are you two off to?" we heard a voice ask from behind us, and we turned around to see Kevin walking towards us, a smirk on his face, and Joba and Merlin hurrying behind him. "We're going out for drinks," I exhaled shyly, shoving my hands into the back pockets of my jeans. "I'll see you guys back at the hotel later, okay?" "Okay," Kevin dragged out the word, giving me a knowing look that made me roll my eyes. "Have fun," Joba sang, a mischievous grin on his face that was also mirrored by Merlin. "All right, bye then," I exclaimed, reaching my limit with their shenanigans before throwing my arm gently over Naya's shoulders. I kind of shocked myself with the gesture, and I wondered whether I bemused her too. She didn't seem to have an issue with it, so I led her out the backstage area towards the exit. The boys whistled behind us, but I tried my best not to pay them any attention. Instead, I looked at Naya and smiled at the pink tint that had appeared on her pretty little olive cheeks. It was good to know she was just as embarrassed as this as I was. Now that I was looking at her, though, I took a proper notice of just how pretty she actually was. The way her eyes sparkled and how her long brown hair perfectly framed her face. her petite stature, just about the same height as me. But we will not talk about that, which added to her cuteness factor. She was so charming, and I couldn't even blame myself for developing a crush that quickly. "What are you staring at?" Her voice snapped me back to reality, and I realized she was looking right at me. "Oh, nothing. sometimes I just space out and stare at, well, nothing." She giggled softly at the half-hearted explanation for my actions, and we eventually arrived at the exit. I pulled open the door and allowed her to walk before me. I stepped out and closed the door behind us. It was a cold night, and I felt a slight shiver run down my spine as we stood in the parking lot. That was pretty much empty except for our van and a car probably belonging to one of the venue personnel. "Cold?" she asked simply upon noticing me rubbing my hands up and down my bare arms in an attempt to warm myself. Feebly, though, I mind you. "Yeah, I should have. I should have worn my hoodie. But it was hot in the concert venue. But it's fine. I'm too lazy to go back and get it anyway." "Here." Naya spoke, and I looked at her to find her holding out a jacket towards me that she probably had kept in her bag. "Aren't you gonna feel cold?" "I think you need it more than me," she chuckled before she started to walk towards the side driveway of the building, our main destination being the front. As we made a turn into the front parking lot, I noticed it was empty except for three cars parked next to each other and a group of girls standing at the front doors of the venue. The security guard stood in front of the doors and was asking them to leave, but the girls ignored him, preoccupied, squealing at each other and scrolling away on their phones. Oh, shit. I instantly knew they were those kinds of fans. The crazy group of girls who wanted to meet the members by any means necessary. We had dealt with them a few times during the tour, but it's hard and anxiety-inducing, but we had our managers and several security guards with us beforehand, so we were always protected. This time, though, I was alone, not counting Naya and the one security guard there. Plus, Naya and I are both 5 foot something. Definitely not big enough to scare them away or intimidate anybody. To say I was nervous would be a total understatement. "Hey, Matt, you alright?" Naya asked with concern laced through her voice as she placed a gentle hand on my shoulder. "Matt, seriously, what?" "Those girls over there?" I nodded my head towards them, trying to be as discreet as possible. "They're the crazy kind of fangirls, and if they see me, there's a high chance they will hound me, and I'm just..." "Oh, damn!" Naya's brows knitted into a frown as she processed the situation for a few seconds. "Okay, then, you keep the hood on and hide your face, and I'll cover you from this side, okay?" She hurried over to stand on the other side of me, successfully blocking me from the group of girls. We tried to hurriedly exit the parking lot, but our plan was spoiled by a gush of strong wind blowing against us. The force made us both stumble backwards, and the hood of Naya's jacket flew off my head. I had barely regained my balance when I heard my name being yelled, followed by several shrieks and shouts of disbelief. The screams grew closer, and once I looked up, I saw the group of girls racing towards me. My heart began to beat so freaking quick, and I was feeling nervous at the thought of the girls screaming and invading my personal space with absolutely no consent nor consideration for my condition. A hand grabbed onto mine, and I was swiftly being dragged away. "Come on, let's get out of here!" I heard Naya's voice, and instantly my nerves simmered down. I matched her pace and began running with her. The girls were definitely running after us, and as I could still hear them shouting my name, they were also getting angrier since their cat-like shrieks were replaced with aggressive curse words. Naya tugged on my arm and pulled me toward an alleyway. We hid behind the wall and hoped the girls would not find us standing in the alleyway. Granted, it was kind of dark. Their footsteps grew closer until they stopped altogether. My breath hitched as they jogged past the alleyway, but luckily none of them saw us. Gingerly, we stepped out of the alleyway back onto the pavement and looked both ways to see if the coast was clear. It seemed as if we had successfully lost them.
"You all right?"
Naya asked, breathing deeply as she tried to calm herself down from the cardio exercise we just had.
"Yeah."
Naya placed a hand on my back and started rubbing circles in a comforting manner.
"My inhaler, it's right here."
I reached down to pat the pockets of my jeans where I had put my inhaler during the concert and was horrified to not feel the frame of plastic device. My hands dove into my pockets time and again, fishing for the inhaler, but my attempt proved to be fruitless. My inhaler was clearly not there, but still I kept pawing into my pockets trying to find some fragment of the small little plastic machinery that could save my life in this instant. I frantically looked up at Naya, still coughing nonstop, and I'm sure she could read the panic in my eyes.
"You don't have it?"
she asked, her own breath starting to quicken as she began to grow more and more worried. My airways were so tight at this point that I only managed to muster up a panic-stricken nod. Naya let out a deep sigh as though to calm herself down before she pulled out my cell phone from my back pocket and wordlessly asked me to unlock it. With a shaky hand, I typed in my password, then handed the phone back to her. I watched as she frantically scrolled through my contacts until she tapped on one of them, calling them. The person answered almost immediately.
"Jabba, this is Naya,"
she spoke into the phone, her voice coming out nervous and rushed, a sharp contrast from her usual laid-back self.
"Matt's having another asthma attack, and I think he dropped his inhaler somewhere. Can you please bring one?"
Naya was silent for a short while, tapping her foot impatiently before speaking again.
"We're a few blocks away from the venue. Turn left and you'll see us standing on the sidewalk."
She cut the cell and gently put my phone back into my pocket. She then threw her arm over my shoulders and ushered me to the sit down on the pavement. We sat down, our knees against our chest and our backs against the fence. She kept her arm over my shoulder and her hand rubbing up and down my arm as she tried to comfort me as much as she possibly could.
"It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Just try to calm down,"
she cooed softly.
"Just focus on your breathing. You'll be okay."
Every so often, she would whisper these things to me, and it did help to some extent.
I tried to control myself, but I could still feel it. The tightening in my chest, the itching of my lungs, the intense burning. But her voice still just comforted me, even though I was in immeasurable pain, just wanting it to end. It felt like an eternity, though, just stuck there, feeling my lungs just feel like there was an elephant. No, not an elephant. Like a damn whale on top of them. But all she did was just whisper that I'll be okay. And somehow, I believed her. I don't really know why, but I really just knew I could trust her when she'd say that I would be okay. After a few minutes, we heard someone huffing and puffing and looked up to see Joba sprinting towards us.
He was so red in the face and out of breath that he just chucked the inhaler at me before stopping in his tracks, hunching over as he tried to recover from his run. Finally, thanks! I took several pumps of the inhaler and instantly felt my breathing going back to a normal pace. My throat felt clearer and my body had stopped shaking. I sighed in relief and looked up to see Naya smiling at me. She stood up, dusting her pants, before holding out her hands to help me back to my feet. "Better?" she asked, her hand still lingering near mine as she was preparing to catch me in case I fell. "Much better," I replied with a nod and a smile. 2 times in 1 night, I think Naya is your guardian angel, dude," Joba chuckled as he made his way towards us, his face still red and sweaty. "You really saved him for the 2nd time tonight. How will he ever repay you?" "I'm taking you to drinks, which means getting to spend more time with you," I spoke before even realizing that I was saying what I was saying exactly. My face heated up with embarrassment. "I think that's still more of a reward for me, though,"